very good morning and welcome back to the show. We return now to the panel discussion I chaired on identity this weekend at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. Who are you? Who am I? With award-winning poets and writers Daljit Nagra, Romesh Gunasekera, Yang Lian and John O'Sullivan. I think, Lian, you are going to read, and I think, Daljit, you're going to assist as well.
Okay, I will read this poem titled Home. But I have to say, that poem, it not belongs to any other books, but the book titled Lee Valley Poems, which the Lee Valley is a valley in London. It's not in China. So in that case, what's mean of home to me as the one traveling for a long journey from China but to London and actually carry on all these areas I have been traveled to and finally the home perhaps is so much bigger than China and even Chinese history and even world history. So I hope we will discuss later about that. Anyway, Daljit, you will be me when you read the translation. Okay, so here is the poem in Chinese. 家一欠缺的那只猫在家具间行走，给雨天一块白。 瓶子洗净了，器官们璀璨地悬在体外，每只有一对叮当作响的南北极，用欠缺的磁力线顶着冰雪，又一小时把你和我移入一艘飞船，手拉手，惊叫，闭眼，幻想能在疯了的星空中稳住。加。 你亮而细的鼾声远远围拢，夜有根剪下来精工雕琢的喙尾，这房子浮在水上就追随水的形状，趁着灵光持续发黑，趁着秒针的舌头卷走了世界。诗人需要一只笼子，不小于我被容忍的愚蠢，墙换了又换。 而一幅画倚着虚空，定居在琴声，搁进宛如旧书的一件往事，错的可爱，非错不可才迁徙成诗意。灯有只蛾子的自我，光速在肉里猛烈的醒着，追上地平线时，享受一顿湛蓝的晚餐，还泛着油漆香。撕掉皮肤，撕掉。 你和我，和下一个定制的早晨。
Thank you.
Okay, I think, yeah, it was switched on. Sorry. This is called Home. It's in two parts. So the first part. The cat strolls between the furniture, supplying a blank to the rainy day. Bottles are being washed, organs hanging shining outside the body. Each has a ringing pair of north and south poles, binding ice and snow with absent lines of magnetic force. Another hour moves you and me into the spacecraft, holding hands, screaming, eyes closed. Imagine being secured in that star sky. Two. Your thin, shining snores circle far away. Night has a delicately carved, cut-off comet's tail. This house floats on water, following the form of water, continually darkening against the phosphorescence. Sweeping the world away with a second hand's tongue. A poet needs a cave, no smaller than his intolerable stupidity. The walls change and change again, and a painting hung on the emptiness makes itself at home in the wind. The sound of music is put into the old book of the past. A lovely miniature. It must be a miniature to move toward the art of the pen. The lamp takes over a moth's self. The speed of light wakes violently in flesh. Enjoying an azure dinner, catching up with the horizon, still smelling the fragrance of the paint. To rip off skin means to rip off you and me, and the next made-to-measure morning.
Thank you, Daljit. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Daljit, for doing that. Leanne, that's a sense of home, and you touched on it before the poem, living on the outside, looking at a country that you don't live in, and writing about it and viewing it from afar. So when we talk about identity, how do you describe that? How do you feel that identity within you and also outside?
Well, you see, that it's such important subject, but again, it's such cliche subject, because everybody, when they talk about that, we simply try to separate people by the collective groups, Chinese, Indian, European, Arabic, whatever. But was there actually any real meaning within that? You know, now we are in the Arabic world, and there's a popular word today, the other, actually been invented by the Arabic. But I have to say, there is a visible the other, which is like Chinese look, European culture. It is the other. But is also something much more secret, invisible, but even more dangerous, the other, at least to me. For example, classical Chinese culture. It's totally different from the contemporary. But we always imagined there is a kind of a direct line, you know, link between the past and now. But is there anything like that? It's more than a fiction. It's actually not even, you know, the mad novels. It's actually somehow means the very weaker awareness within every individual. So in that case, for me, I check nothing about the Chinese or others. I check about the depths of awareness from all cultures, because we deeply link each other. We are actually in the same situation. So the identity of individuality, of individual understanding, and that is my point, you know. And but I have to say, when I talk to the poets, the good poets, I always enjoy, you know, to find the same way of thinking, whatever where they come from.
John, let's move to the Irishman. And you've been traveling extensively, John, and you live in Bali. So what would you like to share with us today? What are you bringing to us through your words regarding identity?
You know, being Irish, it's very easy to, again, fall into the cliche of talking about suppressed land, the past, and also being the sort of the almost dead tiger at the moment within Europe. For the last year, I've been traveling, and I've been to 17 different countries. And the one that's made the most impact on me has been Cambodia. What really amazed me about it was I had the opportunity through three visits to meet an awful lot of the real people in the villages and in the city, and realizing that, you know, in just over a 30-year period, where you have an example not 100 years ago, but just over 30 years ago, of where millions of people were exterminated. What's happened in the land is that there's a freeze frame on the emotions of the people. The healing of the generation that was deeply affected has not actually really taken place. So you get this tension between the parents and the children in that space, and it's almost as if you have two parallel worlds without any form of emotional connection. So the poem that I'd love to read you is based on that journey in Cambodia, and it's entitled Every hour begun will be charged. I think there's four parts to it. First, churning of the sea of milk, the land saturated, nipples of space moistened, the monsoon reaped and raped, the respite from deluge cloaked. The letter N absent from the airport sign at Siem Reap, like a child with first milk tooth fallen, no tooth fairy, a faltered, altered adulthood behind, innocence plucked. Beer at 50 cents, all cocktails at 150 cents, thrice the splice. The kingdom of Angkor knows its true value. Two, churning of the sea of milked Angkor Valley. A forest of cows dripping, Celtic, Cambodian, spiraled, rock-faced. Rotations of cartouches celebrating the elixir of immortality. The Bayon, island and pyramids, a duality of carved descendants, fondness for etched fronds, traced faces of place, elephant holes in stone, staring out or carved in, gods of different providence, coiled, embroiled in spirit and land toiled, pre-dawn Buddhist blessing, psychedelic gods, lined stupas of the wealthy, especially in death. Can you bring it with you? Can the ferryman calculate ballast depth and death charges? Like nilometer measurement to Nile, rice quotas to feudalist nightmare. The southern islands, splendid in their isolation, local footprint respected, nurtured with love and soul. Three. Churning of the sea of milk in death. Phnom Penh and Pol Pot, killing fields and S-21, base people, new people, 3 million drilled to death, trees drenched with baby's blood, new bark for the reconciliation ceremony. Post-history event trauma syndrome, still being dispensed in spiritual prescriptions. Repeat after me, Pol Pot says. To dig up the grass, one has to remove even the roots. Secrecy is the key to victory. High secrecy, long survival. Post-human superpower fails yet again in bullied and soiled intervention. The annual ceremony of Phnom Penh, where ancestors are honored and remembered, fell as I walked the watery killing fields in a crying daze. Soul tipexed in blank steps, hollowed eyes and skulls both walking and exhumed. Who flicks the switch when one day looks in the mirror and decides to obliterate and annihilate his fellow people? A people whose gentleness touched me, an innocence surfaced and puzzled post-desecration. If Kampuchea were an instrument, it would be an ancient cello of layered patina. And Jacqueline Dupré would be playing Elgar. 1 week in Cambodia sows the seed of weighted optimism. Even tuk-tuk drivers had photographed business cards, email addresses, and good luck mantras encrypted. Everyone promising to stay in touch. Churning of the sea of milk in future hope. Thank you.
Thank you, John.